Frank Rogers, Real One. Frank, could you just tell us, first of all, where you were born?
33 Jew Street, Leelands.
Yeah, and what date was that, sir, Frank, please?
27th of the 2nd, 1920.
Yeah, and brothers and sisters?
Two sisters and three brothers.
And the brothers older or younger than you?
Older than me. I'm youngest in the family.
Okay. Did your brothers incidentally go into the forces later on?
Only me. There's three brothers was on heavy goods vehicles and they got exempt from the army.
Okay. What about your dad? Did your dad go?
My dad worked in the mines.
So he wasn't in the forces either?
He wasn't in the forces, no.
In the First World War,
he did a few weeks and he came out on medical grounds.
Yeah, yeah. When you say worked in the mines, that's what sort of mining?
On the coal mines.
Yeah. What, locally or?
Locally, yes.
Because you're now living in Lee, aren't
Lee.
You?
Lee.
Yeah. What about your mum at that time? Was she working?
No.
Just bringing up the family, I suppose.
Yes.
Okay. So what are your first memories of things in general as a young boy?
Well, going to school like every other boy, you know.
Mm. Where did you go to school?
St Paul's West Lee.
Yeah. And did you enjoy it?
Yes, I enjoyed school, yes.
Anything in particular that you enjoyed there, lesson-wise?
Not really, no.
Would you term yourself to be a scholarly person, Frank?
Not really, no.
What about sports and that sort of thing?
Oh, I like my sports. Oh, yes, we used to play rugby and soccer at school.
Yeah. And when you finished your first school, which was the infant school, presumably, you went into a junior...
I went to Wesley Council Senior School.
Senior school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was 11.
Okay.
Till 14.
Sorry, which year were you born again?
27th of the 2nd, 1920.
20, okay. So we're now at this stage, now we're about mid-30s, aren't we? You know, mid-30s,
yes.
It's about 34, 35...
Yes.
1934, 35.
1934, yes. And I left school, and I went in the cotton factory.
Right.
For 3 years and 3 months in the spinning mill.
Mm.
And after that, while my brother was on the long-distance lorry driving, he got me a job as a second man on a lorry and trailer.
Yeah.
And I loved that job, till the army called me up on the... April 1940.
All right, let's just go back a bit from there, from when you were called up, because before that happened, of course, war was declared.
War was declared in 1939, yes.
Yeah. So what was the reaction of you and your mum and dad when war was declared?
Well, I don't think they really bothered, really. I don't think they really bothered. Till I was called up.
Yeah. And then what? When you were called up, how did they feel then?
Well, I suppose they didn't want me to go, but I had to go, really.
But what about you? How did you feel?
I wasn't bothered, really. Honestly, I wasn't bothered.
Any anxieties?
No.
So, you're called up in 1940.
April 40, yes.
Yeah. Just refresh my memory. Dunkirk, would that have happened by then?
Yes, Dunkirk was on then, yes.
And what were you aware of? I mean, was that changing your opinion as to what was going to happen in the future?
Thinking back, well, it never bothered me at all, really. It never bothered me at all.
Okay. So when you were called up, which outfit were you called up to?
I was called, I got me calling up purpose from the King's Regiment, Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go there on the 18th of April, 1940, and I served with them about 8 weeks, infantry training, the King's Liverpool.
So, okay, so let's just go through that training period with them, shall we?
Yes.
So, what happens at the starts, Frank?
Well, as I can remember, really, it was all Barrack Square infantry marching about, because we no rifles or anything like that then. So we were just about marching about on the Barrack Square and exercising.
But did you do arms drill?
Arms drill, yes.
But you didn't have rifles?
I remember using fixed shafts.
Yep.
Using fixed shafts as regards infantry training and presenting arms and all that carry on.
Yeah. So the early part was sort of what I would know as sort of square bashing, really, wouldn't it?
Square bashing it was, yes.
Yeah, yeah. But you must have gone on to do some weapons training or something.
Yes, as regards the brain gun and rifles and things like that, yes. Yeah.
So how did that work?
All right.
But what did they have you doing?
Well, dismantling the brain guns on the rifles, on assembling them back again.
What about firing them?
Yes, we went to different firing ranges, and then we had the rifle, firing with the rifle and firing with the barrel, and learning how to throw in grenades and things like that.
Yeah. Were you any good at firing the weapons?
Yes, I was pretty good, yes. I enjoyed it.
When you first fired, I was asked to fire the weapons.
Yes.
Did you have any preconceived thoughts about what would happen when you fired them?
No. You just fired at the target and tried to do the best you could.
Yeah. And you, I think you said, how did you do at that?
All right.
Yeah.
Very good, I think.
Okay. And the other training that you mentioned there was grenades and things? Did you get involved in that?
Learning how to throw grenades and then getting your head down and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. And anything else at that time in the way of training?
Well, what I can remember, while I was at Seaport Barracks, when I first joined up, I never went home with my civilian clothes for 9 months. And what I remember was it was on standby every night, and if we weren't going out to the barracks, we had got to buy on the train to Liverpool Docks on every other night, or maybe every night of 1 week. We was carrying the wounded off the ships of Liverpool.
Where were they coming from?
They was coming from Dunkirk. They was coming from Dunkirk, and we was carrying our own lads off. On Germans as well.
What did you? What was your reaction to that?
Well, we had to do it, kind of thing. We took it in a stride, you know.
Did you get talking to any of those people?
No. Just kept your nose clean and just carried on doing what we were told to do.
And what about the Germans? When you saw the Germans coming off those boats?
Well, it didn't bother me. I didn't anyway. I didn't bother at all.
How long did that go on for, Frank?
Well, it went on all the time. It was at Seaport Barracks, Liverpool. That went on for about 8 weeks.
Yeah.
To get him transferred from there to Formby.
Still with
still with the King's Regiment. Yes.
Okay. And you moved to Formby.
Then we moved to the transferred 300 of us from Seaport Barracks to Liverpool under canvas at Formby. I remember going in the field at Formby when we was under canvas for probably a fortnight till they sorted us out, and then they transferred all the 300 of us to the 1st Battalion East Lancashire Regiment.
Okay.
Attend Enderby Steeple near North Alton in Yorkshire.
What time was that, or what date was that?
That would probably be about June or July.
Oh, 40.
You know, 1940, yes.
Yeah. Did you have your weapons at this stage?
Well, what weapons you got issued with, you had to take them with you.
Yeah.
Yes, then you had rifles, you know, you had to remember your rifle number, and you had to keep holding that rifle all the way through then.
What's your service number, by the way, Frank?
377-6638.
Right. And do you remember that rifle number?
Well, I don't know now. I remember it then. I used to remember my Bengal number and my rifle number, but I forgot then.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you never forget your army number.
No. Okay, so you now mentioned a transfer into the 1st Battalion East Lancs.
Yes.
And where was that to? Where did you get the transfer?
We got the transfer from Thornbury, when I was under canvas. And then we went by train then to Enderby Steeple, near North Allen, New York.
Okay. So, what was your impressions when you got there?
Well, meeting fresh fellas, you know, and meeting old lads who'd just come back from Dunkirk, and we sitting in the room overnight, they're telling us their tales, what they've been through. Yes.
And did that leave you with any impressions, the stories?
Well, we started thinking them all then, because they were all looking forward to.
Yeah. And did you have any anxieties because of the stories they were telling you?
Well, I suppose so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was up at North Allerton. What did you do up there?
Well, of course, then we started getting equipped with different equipment. Mm. You know, different web equipment and rifles and things like that. Mm.
Yeah.
And when we got new rifles, we started to clean all the grease off them and things like that when we used to make the boxes.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there further training up there as well?
Further training, if it's a training, just the same, yes. Mm.
No different to what you were doing?
No different, no.
No?
No.
Okay. How long, can you remember, did you stay there, Frank?
Well, that's a problem. Could have been 2 or 3 months before we moved.
Yeah. Do you know where you moved to?
Not a clue, no.
Okay.
I can't just remember.
But there was a move and you moved
on. Well, we kept moving to different places for 3 or 4 days, then moving back and then moving forward and moving overnight sometimes.
Yeah. When you moved to these places, were you at a degree of readiness or alert or anything like that?
Well, what they trained us to do really was every night, be alert for being called out any time of the day. Any time of the day and night.
Because I suppose the situation is that Dunkirk's happened.
That's right.
And there was a lot of worries in the country at that stage,
that's
wasn't
right,
there?
Yes.
What were the fears at that stage that might happen? Any ideas, Frank?
Well, it never bothered me, really. We just did what we were told, and that was it.
Yeah. Okay. So this is through sort of 1940, back end.
Yes. We went in different places, up and down Yorkshire, and you didn't know where you were going from one day to another.
No. Do you remember any incidents that may have occurred during those times?
Well, one in particular place, at the present day now, we're that field is in Moulton.
Yes.
We were stationed in Moulton at one time, the 1st Battalion East Lancs Regiment, and the CO called us out one day, and he lined us up on the canal bank. I'm sure it could have been a river. It's River Derwent, I think it is, River Derwent. And he formed us all up, support company, HQ company, A, B, C, D, and he told us to get across this river as fast as possible. The full equipment on, shoes on, boots and everything. We'll be at Gerka. And on that crossing, I lost 7 men on that crossing.
How'd you lose them?
They got drowned.
Drowned in the river?
Got drowned in the river. And I'm almost sure it was a river in Moulton anyway.
Was there anything along the river so that they would help them to cross the river?
No, that was all wrong, really. They should have had ropes. They should have put a rope across so they could follow one another. But them as I remember, there was nothing. And I was there. I remember one certain bloke, Sergeant Robertson, at the time. I went, dove back in two or three times, trying to get him out until we couldn't.
Yeah.
He got fast in the reeds in the water.
Reeds?
In the reeds in the water, yes.
So, what was the river very strong there?
Or? Very strong flowing at the time, yes.
So you had a strong flowing river with weeds in the bottom of the river?
That's right. Well, and I remember seeing the lad, I don't remember, five or seven men were lost. And I actually saw him in the coffin when they got, after they got drowned.
Hmm. So, they drowned in that river. Presumably they couldn't swim.
Well, previous to that, I know for a fact I'd done infantry training on these stages to the public baths, and we had to swim with the FSMO, that's Field Service Marching Army, with a steel helmet on, and all equipment, boots and everything, and with the rifle or brain gun round your neck.
Mm.
Or we had to get from one side to the other without aid of a rope.
Hmm. Out of your depth in water, was that? Would you have been out of your depth in water in that swimming pool? You had to swim. Could you have kept your feet on the bottom?
Well, you see, I can remember, you get your shallow end at one end, but then you have to go through the deep end. You know, you have to go through the deep end just the same. So therefore, you have to go as fast as you can to get the other side.
Yeah. So you had some training about.
We had the training previous. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. But then we couldn't swim, I just don't know.
What was said at the time about that?
Oh, it was a lot of trouble. I'm almost sure it was Moulton. I could be wrong, but I'm sure it was Moulton.
Mm.
And the CO at that time, he got moved in 3 days afterwards. The public went against it.
The public or?
All the public people, you know, the... everyday people are walking the streets, they went against it, and he got transferred from the battalion 3 days afterwards.
Do you remember what his name was?
Well, we used to call him Twinkletoes. He was a little fella, and we used to call him Twinkletoes.
Mm-hmm. So, why do you think the everybody went against him because of that?
Well, because they heard different stories about crossing this river, and this would have been more better arrangements made to crossing that river. But I remember us being found up on that river bank, and he says, "We're crossing this river now, and I want every man Jack get across that river as soon as he can to get the other side." And that was the results.
Yeah.
And then eventually, when one or two was getting like in difficulties, they stopped it all at once. But we'd lost 5 to 7 men at that time.
Yeah. Did many people get across? Or?
Oh, yes, several got it, yeah. We got across, yeah. Hmm. Because we'd had the training for it.
Did you go in?
Yes, I went across as well, yes.
So you must have been, I suppose, if they stopped it at some stage...
Well, when they stopped it, you see, when they stopped it and we got out at the other side and we saw blokes in difficulty in the water, what we did then is throw equipment off and then get back in the water, slide down the side. We didn't dive in, we just went down the banking, slide down the banking, and wade in and try to save them, what we could.
Mm. But you'd got across at some stage.
I got across, all right, yes.
Because you're quite tall, you're about 6 foot.
I was about 5'11 at that time, yeah.
Mm.
5'11, yeah.
Would that have helped? I mean, I don't know how
to... Well, I think, you know, I looked after myself. I still don't smoke.
Mm.
And I looked after myself, and I thought I was fit for the job, you know.
Mm. Well, how deep would it be there, do you think, Frank, that river?
Oh, it's. I should say it would probably be 7 foot or so, 7 or 8 foot. It could be deeper, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I remember I couldn't touch the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. So then after that, I mean, that sounds quite traumatic and worrying, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But after that, do you remember what happened after that?
Well, I remember, you know, when this all brought in difficulties, well, somebody, the CEO or the next second in command must have stopped it. And then they all gone the bankings, and then it was panic stations then, getting the fellas out.
Yeah.
And then it was stopped.
Yeah. By that time, had they drowned when they got them out?
Oh, they drowned all right. Yeah. And then they had to, if anybody missed him, they had to account for themselves then.
Mm.
You have to have a roll call, you know, and see if anybody else were missing.
Mm. Do you know where they got buried?
I just can't remember.
No.
I remember seeing the lads in the coffins.
Mm.
Now, whether the next of kin came for them or not, I just don't know, but I don't remember.
Mm. Mm. Okay. So, after, you think that was Malton in Yorkshire?
Yes.
After that, what sort of, what was happening, what was going on?
Well, everybody were talking, and he used to go out, if you went out at night and that, everybody were talking, and I remember the CEO got moved 3 days after. I might be wrong, but I'm sure it was about 3 days after.
Yeah. How did you feel about it, personally?
Well, I felt a bit rough, really, because I really thought, if they've had to, you know, if you could have seen a good swimmer going across, and then fastening a rope at the other end, to a tree or something.
Yeah.
And then they could have guarded themselves by this rope.
Mm.
But there was nothing like that. Nothing at all.
Mm.
It was just get across as soon as you can, and that's it.
Mm. It was in daytime, presumably, was it?
Pardon?
It was in daytime, was it, the crossing?
Or daytime, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And what time of the year, do you think?
I can't remember.
No.
I can't remember.
Okay. So, how long do you stay at that place, at Malton? Any thoughts on how long you may have been there?
No, I can't remember, no. We went to that many different places,
yeah.
Moving overnight and then moving back again and
coming
to and fro, kind of thing.
Any thoughts of any other places around that time that you may have been to?
No, not really.
Okay.
No.
So, what's your next memory of things and...
Well, we went to that many different places, I just can't remember.
No, because I mean, the time now must be about 1941, something like that. 1941. And the invasion is a long time away. The invasion
is
about 3 years away.
So we went up and down Lancashire and up and down. We went to Mere and Watford and up and down. They were moving overnight and back again. And
you
didn't know what day it was, really.
Mere is in... Where is Mere in?
Mere's down south.
Yeah. Do you remember that place in particular?
Well, I know we was under canvas in Mere.
Hmm.
Under canvas for a while.
Hmm.
But when we was at Mere and down south, we used to get them buzz bombs coming over and that. Keeping your head down and then go over, you know.
Describe what they were like and what happened.
Well, during the day or night, you heard this loud buzzing noise, and this sounded like as if there was diesel engines coming over. But once the fuel was cut off, you know, you could sound, you had to get your head down, it could come down anywhere then. But that happened all around London and down south.
I think they were known as the buzz bombs, doodle bugs, V1s.
Doodle bugs.
And what did they look like? You remember what they looked like?
Well, I don't, you know, it's funny to explain, really.
Mm.
And they were that quick coming over, and then they soon cut off, you see. They reckon the fuses cut off, and these come down then.
So you're seeing these going over.
Oh yes, all the time I was down south.
Yeah. Would you have been?
And I remember I had my 21st birthday in Leon Sea.
Ah, that picture.
That's Essex, isn't it?
That's Essex, yes.
Yes, I remember me having my 21st birthday.
21st birthday.
Yes.
Yeah. So what year would that have made it then?
That's 41, isn't it?
What month, Frank?
Pardon?
What month?
February 1941,
And we've got the date because your birthday. Date of
27th
of February 41, you're in Leon Sea.
22nd, 1941.
That's it. So in February 41, you're in Leon Sea.
Yeah.
Were you there? Well, what did you do on your birthday?
Well, to tell you the truth, I remember the mail came, and my sister sent me birthday cake, all the way from Lancashire, and I just shared it with the lads.
It's a coincidence, isn't it? From Lee, Lancashire, and you were in Leigh-on-Sea.
Leigh-on-Sea, yeah.
In Essex.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was all that happened, really, on your birthday. No special thing.
No special arrangements or anything, no.
What were you, why were you at Leigh-on-Sea? Any ideas?
No, just moving us about from one place to another.
Yeah. Okay, so...
You just got settled to one place and then you had to pack up and move to somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, I can only assume, because of that, the time that was, that, you know, they were still thinking that there might be some sort of invasion.
That's right, yes, yes.
And that's why perhaps you were moving to some of these coastal...
That's right, and every time you went to bed at night, you had to have all the equipment inside your bed, or... He maybe slept on the floor, or he just had the equipment down the side of your bedroom, just in case he was called out any time of morning, night, noon and night. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's Leigh-on-Sea. Any other places you remembered? Mere in Somerset, I think?
I remember being at Watford, I think we were at Watford about 9 months, as I can remember.
Would that be after Lee?
I think it's after Leigh-on-Sea, yes.
Yeah. And what happened there, Frank, at Watford?
Well, while I was there, I remember, you say, you see the bombers coming over every night and over London. London's only 14 miles from Watford. And it was just like a ball of fire every night, as there was one in London, over London and bombing.
Yeah.
And we was only like a short distance away.
You see any... aircraft being shot down at all?
Well, any aircraft, any German aircraft or our own aircraft that we shot down. I have done it, and I've done it many times. I've done 24-hour guard on planes. Go out in the country, they take us by transport out to the in the country and do 24-hour guard on them, two on or four off.
Hmm. That was, RAF bases?
RAF places, and... Rare places, and anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
What's in them days, as I remember, the RAF hadn't their own regiment then. The anti-RAF regiment then. The army, the nearest army unit at Dugard's Arm. That's what I remember.
I'm just wondering what company you were with at that time, Frank.
That particular time I was in H3 company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as a what role were you doing?
I was the CO's carrier driver.
Oh, you were driving carriers?
I volunteered when I was in Enderbridge Steeple in North Hallett in Yorkshire in June 1940. I remember coming on battalion orders. They wanted volunteers for Bengal carrier drivers. Well, I could drive before I went in the forces. But when I went in the forces in April 40, they asked me, were being told, would I go in the guards? Well, I never fancied the guards. So I put my name down for being on the transport previous to going to the forces in April 40, being called up. I was a driver's mate on a wagon and trailer, and I could handle the wagon. So therefore, I thought, well, I'll get behind the wheel, it's better than foot slogging.
Yeah.
That was my opinion.
Yeah. See, because what we're going to have to do now, because you're at Watford, but before this, we didn't mention it before, but before this, you must have had some training for carriers.
Well, I picked it up in a couple of days, really. Because I could drive, but on these Bengal carriers, the steering wheel is vertical. It's just like on the gearbox, but these Bengal carriers, the steering is vertical. Or when you put your left hand lock on it, you slot it in your side and you swivel around in the own space.
Is that a bit like tanks, the way tanks operate?
No, tanks and cargo lines are tiller driven.
Sorry?
But the tiller driven. Yeah, they're like two handles.
Yeah.
Left and the right hand tiller, the cannons are like long tanks.
Yeah.
Where a Bremen carriage, like a steering wheel straight.
Okay, you never had those tillers on a carrier?
No. The carriage that I was on was a drawn steering wheel.
Hmm. And it's called a Bren gun carrier.
A Bren gun carrier.
So does that mean there was a fixed...
On Claxon.
Sorry, Frank, carriers we were talking about driving.
Yeah, yes.
I was going to say about whether your Bren gun, whether it's got a fixed place there to carry a Bren gun?
Well, they have brackets at front. There's like a visor cut out at the front, and you can either put a Bren gun there, or a rifle there, or even a Piat, one you snuck tanks out.
Mm.
These carry Piats as well, you know.
So you picked that up pretty quick, that couple of days, you reckon. And so we're now back down at Watford, aren't we? Is where you were. You said you spent some time in Watford.
Yeah, I spent about 9 months in Watford, yes.
So
we went to different places. After there, we went up and down south.
So what about the sort of build-up to... What's the news like in the newspapers? What's happening overseas? And can you remember that time?
Well, to tell you the truth, we just lived day to day. And if you had enough money, I know it was only on 2 shilling a day then. But if you had any coppers left, you'd start going for a drink at night.
Yeah, yeah. You could get out every night.